Chapter 4. As the tube rattled into King's Cross Underground Station, Scowcroft raised his gaze from the carriage floor and met the eyes of Barrett amongst the other passengers. This was their fourth and final station on the Underground, the multiple legs taken as a way to lose tails. As part of their escape, the trio had changed clothing in an alleyway with garments pulled from their backpacks. There, Charlotte had done what she could to clean up Barrett's battered face, but baby wipes and a baseball cap did little to hide the destruction of his nose.
"It's the London Underground," Barrett had comforted his accomplices. "No one points fingers or talks to strangers. I'll be fine."
Hoping that he was right, they had boarded the westbound train from Chancery Lane to Bond Street. There, they'd changed trains and lines for Waterloo, doing the same again to Leicester Square, and then taking the Piccadilly line to King's Cross. Having emerged from the Underground, the thieves once again changed clothing in the mainline train station's public toilets. In the privacy of the stalls, secondary bags were pulled from within the original backpacks, which were then stuffed inside their replacements. Barrett had suggested that precaution, knowing that disposing of a bag in a train station was likely to raise an alarm in a city wary of terrorism. Scowcroft stepped out onto the concourse and scanned the faces of those stood waiting for their trains. He saw nothing that raised his hackles. He looked over his shoulder, seeing Charlotte and Barrett in position behind him. He wasn't worried if they should lose him in the crowd. They both knew the rendezvous point. He kept his head down, fitting in amongst dozens of commuters and tourists, and looking at the phone in his hand. The screen was locked, but it was the perfect excuse to keep his face from the cameras. Behind him, Charlotte and Barrett did the same. Scowcroft took an escalator up to the champagne bar. He waited there patiently until his two accomplices appeared on his shoulder. The trio was now complete, and aside from Barrett's nose, they resembled respectable tourists.
"I've got a reservation,"
Scowcroft told the young hostess, who smiled at the handsome man in front of her as he gave her a false name.
"Ashcroft. Sorry I'm a bit late."
"That's no problem, Mr. Ashcroft,"
the hostess told him, pushing her hair back from her face.
"If you'd like to follow, I'll show you to your table."
"Thank you," he replied.